the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation. We created the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation so you can magnetize the better relationships you want and focus on the positive role that you have in creating a better life through your relationships. We are excited for you to discover the gold within you that can help you manifest the love we all crave. The Building Better Relationships Journal has coaching questions that help you listen to the truth of what you want and what helps you to be empowered in love. The Building Better Relationships meditation is designed to strengthen your heart's ability to be that change you wish to see in the world. Why not download it now and think of it as a gift to those you love? If you love journaling and meditation, this is for you. Welcome to Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty podcast. This is Patty, a leadership and work-life balance coach from Arizona, USA.
And this is Angela, love and relationship coach from Sydney, Australia. And we are building better relationships with you.
Sharing new perspectives on being heart-centered at home and at work.
So you can draw on your inner power to make your relationships and the world a better place to be around.
Welcome to Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty. In this podcast episode, we have a special guest, Eloise Burton, a money alchemist and author. After years of suffering money mess, Eloise discovered money alchemy. Growing up in one of the most deprived areas in the UK was not an easy place to have a healthy and respectful relationship with money. Over the years, she accumulated over £100,000 in personal debt, and her home was repossessed. Battling with her mindset around money, it led her to close a really successful business, but this was also the start of her awareness of a different way to work with money. She used techniques she has fine-tuned over the years, and now shares with her clients to create money with ease and without the icky feelings she used to have: fear, guilt, shame, and distrust. Now she helps women with businesses who are open to the possibility of sprinkling of a magic mixed with a spoonful of logic to let go of your life-hate relationship with money, empowering them to welcome more into their lives.
Eloise has a background in quality assurance and feminine leadership. And since she rediscovered her spiritual gifts that she has pushed away for most of her life, she became clear on her mission, which is to reach 1 million women with empowerment through money. She has a free group on Facebook where money is not a taboo and has a transformation program called Money Alchemy Academy, which creates fast and lasting change for the amazing women within it. Eloise lives near the south coast of England with her partner Mark and three black cats.
Welcome, Eloise. And you know what? When I was growing up, I had two black cats and their names were Stinker and Snoopy. I love those names.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, we're so happy you're here.
And yes, lovely to meet you, Eloise. So could you please share with us and the listeners about yourself, your journey, and why you became so passionate about money alchemy?
Yeah, so like many women, I know I had a terrible relationship with money. I was totally avoidant in my relationship with money. I wouldn't look at money. I just avoided dealing with it. You know, I felt like money wasn't for me. And I think that might have been from where I came from. You know, we were not the poorest family in the town by any stretch, but we were surrounded by poverty. And, you know, life was hard. I didn't know it because I was a kid. It's just life, isn't it? My dad used to say to me when I was little that money would literally fall through my fingers like water. And that kind of stuck with me all my life. I created a situation where I was constantly repeating patterns with money, getting into debt, paying it off, getting back into debt, paying it off, getting back into debt. And it just felt like the whole universe was against me. Like I wasn't meant to have money. Who was I to have money anyway? You know, I was just this girl from a town in England, you know, that wasn't doing so well. And I ended up getting caught up in relationships where money was used as a power move. And in both of those relationships, I left and I actually felt it was safer to take on the debt than it was to fight for the fairness of the debt being split. And I think a lot of women can resonate with that. Like sometimes it just feels safer to take on the debt. But what that gave me was more proof that I wasn't supposed to be financially sufficient, that, you know, I was always going to struggle. And, you know, I got to the point where I left, where I lost my house, it got repossessed. And that was really challenging. And what was the most challenging thing about it was even at the time, but definitely now, I knew I could have stopped it. If I could just have faced money, if I could just have looked at money, if I could just have had a bit of faith in money and myself. So I had a lot of shame around that. And it was a really big issue. At one point, you know, after the house got repossessed, here in the UK, if you have a house repossession, it ruins your credit rating. I'm sure it's the same everywhere. You can't rent unless you've got 6 months deposit. So I was working three jobs to get 6 months deposit to put a roof over mine and my son's head. I've never been so poor as when I had three jobs. This whole, you have to work hard for money? Definitely not true. Definitely not true. I always had, despite the fact that I always struggled with money, I always had big ideas, like entrepreneurial ideas, and I played at having a business so many times, but got scared and stopped it until one day I set up a business where I was selling sporting products of all things on Amazon. And I was buying the stuff in China. It was getting shipped to California. And then Amazon was taking care of it, shipping it all over North America. And that business, that little business, was tipping thousands of dollars into my bank account every fortnight. Right? This is the dream, right? I had a career in quality assurance. I had a good salary. And then I'd spend about 10 minutes a month servicing my little business. And Amazon would just tip thousands of dollars into my bank account every fortnight. The dream, right? Yes. But I got so ill. I had the worst mental health crisis of my life. And I have suffered with mental health challenges since I was very young. And I just felt like I was doing something wrong, like I was doing something illegal, even though I had a good accountant, you know, and like, I don't deserve to have thousands of dollars dropped in my account every fortnight because I'm only working 10 minutes a month. So I had all this stuff coming up and it created physical and mental challenges in my body. And my partner at the time, he's still my partner now, we're getting married next year. He said to me, oh, just shut it down then. I don't think he ever thought for a second that I would. And he came back from work that day and I was like, that's it. I've liquidized my stock. That's it. It's gone. Amazon's sorting it out now. And he was like, oh, well, but that made me realize if I can get a business to $100,000 in 9 months, that's incredible, first of all, but why couldn't I cope with it? What about that created so much pain and suffering in my life? And then I started to discover, I'd always been a coach, I've trained in NLP, you know, loads of different modalities. I'd never even heard of something called money mindset. Well, that was a rabbit hole I fell down and I still haven't popped out yet. I started understanding that it's not just me. Like there's a whole world of us out there having struggles with money, like creating money or manifesting money, and then creating a situation that means it gets taken away from us. You know, mine was like mental illness, couldn't cope with the stress of only working 10 minutes a month, you know. But I've also had other experiences. I remember when I got a little inheritance when my aunt passed away, and it was £500. And at the time, that was a lot of money to me because I didn't have a lot of money. And I got the check from the solicitors, put it in the bank. The day it cleared, I bumped my car into the car in front in traffic. The car in front was fine. My car needed a bumper repair. And guess how much that bumper repair was?
£500.
Yeah, because that's happened to you too, right? Like you manifest money and then something happens and it takes away almost the exact amount of money, right? And that I used to again think was a sign from the universe. I'm not meant to have money. Who am I to think I can be successful and have loads of money? But what I found when I dived into that rabbit hole was it's just my money mindset. And so I set about working on my money mindset. And then one morning I woke up and I had channeled something in my sleep or dreamt about it. I like to say channeled because I like to think I can do that. And I had this idea of money alchemy. And I was like, have I read this somewhere? Am I copying someone? So taken everywhere. Nope, no one's talking about that. And what it was that this isn't just a mindset issue. It's a body and soul issue. Because we can think ourselves, we can think money, but if we don't feel money and embody money in our soul, then we're constantly going to be pushing it away. And a lot of coaches talk about alignment. And for me, what it means with money is that our mind, our bodies, and our souls are open to receiving more and more money. And it's incredible. When I started healing my body and healing my soul, the money just started raining down. I managed to manifest a house. Now, bear in mind, I'd had a house repossessed, so I shouldn't have been able to get a mortgage. I got a mortgage at a normal rate. Money, literally, the money for the deposit, when we first saw this house, we thought the deposit was going to take us about 10 to 15 years to save. We did it in 9 months and we got a mortgage. And we moved in here. We went from a 2-bed house to a 4-bed house, a big 4-bed house. And we had enough money to furnish it and go on holiday. And I was just like, this is incredible. And it was. And it was because I did the healing on myself. Now, what I've learned since that day is that the healing never stops. The healing never stops. We heal a layer of our money trauma, our money wounding, our money block stories, beliefs, patterns, whatever you want to call it. And then we experience an uplift in our ability to manifest and hold more money. But then we hit another level. And we have to do the same again. Sometimes it's the same blocks, other times it's different blocks. We have to heal the mind, the body, and the soul to keep attracting more and more money. When I first set out on my money manifestation and my money alchemy journey, I was trying to manifest £3,000 a month. Now I manifest nearly 10 times that. And it seems crazy to me, but that's how much healing I've done. You know, I've done it a couple of times, the 10 times, and I'm going to do it again. I'm working on consistency now. But when I was first manifesting £3,000, I had no belief in that. And I had no belief that I could manifest 6,000, 9,000, 12,000. And now it's just like, my everyday that, you know, it's incredible that I just keep manifesting more and more and more. It's not a straight line, unfortunately. You don't just go from zero to millions like that. And I'm nowhere near millions yet, working on that. Lots of healing to do. But you go up and down and roundabout. But over a year, it goes up and up and up and up and up. And so what I've realized is money alchemy manifestation is a journey. It's probably a lifetime journey. And it's about looking after yourself. It's about healing your soul and about putting your abundance glasses on rather than your scarcity ones, which social media, the news, Society, parents, friends, teachers, they all have scarcity glasses on. And when we change that, we start to see more abundance because our brains are designed to be confirmation bias. You may know we have a reticular activating system. As soon as it believes something, it goes out and finds proof of it. So by changing your belief system to be abundant rather than scarce, your reticular activating system is looking for abundance and you barely see scarcity. I love it.
I love that. That is so, yeah. That's so incredible. Eloise, I have read your book.
Yay! Did you like it?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. The Magic of Money Alchemy. Especially how you shared your personal experience and journey with your money struggles and how you were able to change your relationship with money. And we all have those money stories. How do you help your clients to recognize their money blocks?
Yeah, so we often don't know that we've got money blocks because we've had them all our lives, and that's just our natural belief system, right? So I have what I call the five money magic foundations, and they're five simple habits that you can use that help you see abundance but also identify your blocks. So one of the money magic foundations, foundation number four, is speak kindly of money. And I challenge them to listen to what they're saying and thinking about money initially. Because especially when we're in company, things just kind of fall out of our mouths without us thinking. And when you pay attention to what you're saying about money, it's quite shocking. And I say, in my world, in Money Alchemy, we think of money as a feminine being. Okay, so the feminine energy is flowing, it's creative, it's fun, it's supportive, it's unconditional. And when we make that a feminine being, it becomes really easy to relate to. So I use, for me, money has the pronoun she. Okay, so I say to my clients, if money, your friend money, overheard you saying the things that you say about her, I don't need money. I'm not interested in money. You know, I'd rather this world didn't have money. If you switch the word money for your name, how would you feel if you overheard that being said about you?
Yeah.
You'd feel quite hurt, wouldn't you? It's like if you overhear someone gossiping about you. Yeah. I don't need money. I don't need money. Money's the root of all evil. Wow. I don't need Eloise. Eloise is the root of all evil. And so by sort of giving her like a body, a being, a personality, it makes it easier to relate to money. And she shows up so fast when you start taking care of your relationship with money. And the beautiful thing about money that I also tell my clients is it doesn't matter about what you're saying about money. It's about what you're going to do in the future. Those things you say about money indicate that you have blocks, yeah? And if you're saying, I don't need money, money's not important, you've got some blocks around welcoming more money in. But she's unconditional. She doesn't expect you to beg for forgiveness or anything like that. She just wants you to make a little bit of an effort. Make a little bit of effort and she's there waiting for you. And we find this, I run 5-day challenges and this is one of the tasks and the money just starts to flow. People are like, where is this coming from? And it's because you're paying attention and you're being kind. You know, we're in any type of relationship, we say things without thinking, okay? And we don't take the best care of our relationships all the time, and it's true with money. But when you put a little bit of effort into a healthy relationship, it responds. Same with money. So if you're saying things about money, and pretty much guarantee if you haven't got all the money you want in your life, you're probably saying or thinking or feeling some yucky stuff about money, just catch yourself and say, that's interesting. What could I say instead that wouldn't hurt her feelings? So instead of money's not important to me, I love money, or I'm getting to know money. She's growing on me. You know, if you're not at the point where you love money yet, she's growing on me. She's much more fun than I thought she was. You know, that's a nicer thing for her to overhear. And I know it's like a bit fantasy, but it really does help you to connect with money in a way that isn't like transactional. It's more personable.
That's really lovely. Yeah, it reminds me of the goddess Lakshmi in Asia.
Yes.
And they set up temples for her.
Yes.
A whole temple for her just to worship that being of money.
Well, we in my clients, in my Money Alchemy Academy and my membership, The Circle, we use a lotus flower, which is the flower of Lakshmi, goddess Lakshmi. And so we use that to symbolize the welcoming of money. And then when we close our visualization, we close the beautiful lotus flower. But yes, Lakshmi has lots of hands, doesn't she? So she can bring in all the abundance. Yeah, exactly. We should worship Lakshmi. She's beautiful. And money. Money is Lakshmi. Lakshmi is money.
Angela's logo is the lotus.
Yeah. Yes,
the flowering of the heart. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful image of us opening up to receive money, opening up to receive love and health and all the things. Because I think many of us, myself included, are quite shut down. So I love the lotus flower. It's such a beautiful reminder for me. So I'm so glad that's your logo.
And I was wondering as well if you could give light on, so we might say negative things about money. What if the people around you, so you're in a relationship, are they, and they're saying negative things about money, are they a reflection of your programs as well? I'm curious about how that part of the alchemy works. Like, does our soul manifest, or our money beliefs manifest relationships where that person reflects back to us the negative perceptions?
Yeah, I think my interpretation of it is like attracts like. What certainly happened to me was I was in a scarcity mindset and I attracted Mark, who is quite a scarcity mindset guy. And I attracted friends that were scarcity mindset. And what I've learned is that some people cannot live with that polarity where I'm positive about money and they're negative about money. Some people can't cope with that. And they sort of naturally gently flow away. But also, not everyone is ready to feel different about money, because if they feel different about money, it kind of opens up a whole can of worms. Well, if I've always been taught that about money, and then there's actually a different way, a better way, what about everything else that I was taught? It brings into question not just your beliefs about money, but your entire core belief system. So not everyone's ready for that. And I was not aware of that when I first started. I wanted everyone to manifest loads of money with me. And I was so excited and I couldn't understand why people wouldn't want to do this, why they wanted to sit in that feeling of scarcity and negativity about money. And there was one point in my relationship with Mark where I thought, I can't do this if he is negative about money. But then a good friend said to me, you know, you can be on a different path on the same journey. And I was like, oh yeah. So I don't have to twist everyone's arm up behind their back to come along with me. Everyone has their own beliefs. You know, we have people who are religious, people who aren't religious. It doesn't mean they can't coexist happily. And so that one phrase made me think, yeah, okay, so I have to just allow what's going on over there. And the hardest bit is to not get involved in it, to not get drawn into that bad mouthing of money. Yeah. You know, when all your friends are sat around going, oh, money's so hard, I'm so skinned, it's so hard not to go, yeah, I know, right? So what I do is I just mentally remove my energy. I suppose mentally and energetically remove my energy. I just withdraw, not rudely, but I just sit quietly and think about how wonderful money is. And if only they knew. It's like I've got a lovely little secret that they've heard, but they don't want to pay attention to. And that's on them, right? That's on them. As it happens, you know, what happens when you spend time with someone like me, it starts to infect you in the most wonderful way. You start to think, oh, actually, what would Eloise say? And a lot of my clients report to me that they keep hearing every time I say something bad about money, I imagine you saying, now what could you say that was nicer? And so Mark, for example, he has started understanding that he's manifesting, and he does things like look after the car, because that means the next car that comes is going to be even more amazing. So which I just like gently and lightly infect them with my money loveliness. But it's hard. It's really hard not to get drawn into that scarcity mindset. Mark's family, they're very, very, very scarcity mindset. And what's really interesting is that they are of an age where their parents and their grandparents were probably around at the time when there was still rationing going on here in the UK. So there was a genuine scarcity at the time, but they've taken that story as their own. And even though they've got plenty of money, they live so frugally, and it's painful for them to feel abundant. And it's like they don't realize that's not their story. That's their grandparents' story that was passed to their parents, and they've passed it on to their children as well. And no one does that on purpose. No one deliberately instills that story or belief. But people choose to carry other people's stories. And it's hard to watch. But live and let live.
That's beautiful, just respecting people's integrity, whatever their beliefs are, they're fine.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And when they're ready, if they become ready, you know, like money, I'll be here. Welcome with open arms.
So Eloise, what is money alchemy?
So money alchemy is a very simple process. In alchemy, there's seven phases, but they break down into three stages. And alchemy is the science/art of transformation. It was the precursor to chemistry. So before we had chemistry, we had alchemy. And the basis of it is that it can transform a base metal, in theory, or anything that's base, into something more beautiful and valuable like gold. Okay, so the three phases of money alchemy are reveal, heal, and transform. So the reveal phase is where you start to understand what your specific money story is. And you start to uncover all the little blocks and the big blocks and the things that have been holding you back. And it's quite emotional. And some of the things that hold you back with money aren't actually related to money. So I did a thing when I was five. I told a lie, and I blamed my friend, who was also five, for breaking my doll's cot. And I never owned up to it. And yet I believed I was a bad girl for doing that, even though no one knew. That belief turned into something very powerful relating to money. And that was, I don't deserve money because I am a bad person, because I told a lie when I was five. And now I say it out loud, it's like, okay, that doesn't make logical sense. So it's about peeling back the layers in the reveal stage and understanding what your money story is and what needs to change for you. Then in the heal stage, it's about healing yourself, healing your money blocks, and healing your relationship with money. Now, for many, this is the first time they've even realized they're in a relationship with money. Money's been like, yeah, we're in a relationship, and they're in denial. No, 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 we're not even dating, you know. So it's about healing and consolidating that. You like that, don't you? Yeah. It's like, and so that work is really powerful. And we use a few processes. We use journaling, which is super powerful. Use tapping, EFT, might have heard of that. Incredible. In fact, when we come together on Money Alchemy Lives once a month with all my clients, we do a lot of tapping, and all of my clients are just yawning their heads off because the energy release is happening for them. They just sit there like, whoa. Anyone would think that I was boring them. We also do visualization, where we journey to meet money and really like get to know her, understand where she's coming from. And she's so playful. we all have a money goddess, but because she's so playful, she changes every time you do a visualization. She might put a different dress on, or she might appear like coins today, but yesterday she was like Marilyn Monroe dancing around or something like that. So she's very playful. She has huge insights, and she works beautifully with your higher self to give you like the real information that you need, not the stuff that your ego is telling you, don't go there. So that's the heal stage, super important. And then we get into the transform stage, where we've discovered the base material. The healing stage for me in relation to alchemy is the dissolution stage, where everything starts to stretch apart, all the little particles start to disperse. And then the transforming stage is when they come back together in a different way. So your money story looks very different, and you start to experience money very differently. Do that through many, many techniques. It's super, super powerful. But the thing about money alchemy is it's a process, it's a cycle. So once you've dissolved and come back together, you go again, you reveal the next level of your blocks and your relationship with money. So it's about building a deeper and deeper connection, and then clearing anything that's in the way, and then coming back together and experiencing the transformation over and over again. So that's what money alchemy is.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for explaining that. I'm sure that a lot of people had questions about what is money alchemy, and that was a very wonderful explanation of it. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
In your book, you talk about magical money personalities, and how do they affect our relationship with money?
Yeah, so these are called sacred money archetypes. They were created by a wonderful coach called Kendall Summerhawk. And there are 8 money personalities. And each of these personalities will combine in a different way with all of the others. So you can find out, I have an assessment on my website, it's completely free, but you can find out your top archetype. But we normally have 3 in play at any one time. They are the nurturers, the rulers, the alchemists, the celebrities, the romantics, the mavericks, the connectors, and the accumulators. Okay. And they each have different features. They're like, archetypes are like personality types. And when you discover which archetype you have in first place, you go, oh my goodness, that's so me. For example, I won't go through all of them, but for example, a nurturer is someone who is like soulfully giving, and they're really generous, and they give away all their money, all their time, all their energy. They're actually really good at managing money, but they attract people who need them to rescue them. Okay, and they feel very guilty if they have money, but people around them don't. So they just share, you know, they get money in, instead of looking after themselves, they look after everyone else. Yeah. So that most nurturers will recognize that in themselves. They'll be like, oh my goodness, I do that. They also get a little bit hurt. So each archetype has its light side and its shadow side. So nurturers can get a little bit hurt when people don't understand the sacrifices that they've made. When it feels like people don't appreciate them, and so they can become a bit resentful, and they start beating themselves up mentally for being so generous and all this type of thing. So they're really powerful things, these archetypes, these ways of being. I'm a ruler, and what that means is I'm excellent at creating money, but I have a lot of fear around there never being enough. Like, just because I've done it once, then it might be a fluke. So I remember the first time I had, an automated payment and booking on my website. And I said to, we were out at the time, and I looked at my phone and I said to my, oh my goodness, I've got a payment and they've booked in. And I realized that I thought that that was a fluke. They must have made a mistake. They've come to my website. They've taken the assessment, which takes about 10 minutes. They've got the results. They've opened the email. I've offered them a call, they've clicked on the button, they've chosen a date, they've entered their details in, they've pressed submit, it must be a fluke, right? They must have done it by accident. And so, like, my ruler was at play there. You know, my ruler can create money, but she has a lot of doubt about people. You know, people obviously made a mistake when they buy from me. So that's just two examples of the money archetypes. But they are incredible at helping you get to know yourself when it comes to money. They show you your patterns. So if you think, oh, I don't know what my pattern with money is, the archetypes will show you what those patterns are. They're incredible. They're almost like, you know, when you have human design types.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, I'm a manifesting generator, and everyone knows what that means. Well, in my world, if you say you're a romantic, everyone knows what that means. They know what you're like with money. It's a really clever system.
My three were the accumulator, the alchemist, and the romantic.
Nice. Yes. So you've got a lot of tension going on there. You've got the romantic, which loves money, and the alchemist, which is like, oh, I wish we didn't need money. I'd rather we were bartering. But if you've got a cow and I don't want a cow, we can't barter. You know, I love that. What was the other one, Patty?
Accumulator.
Accumulator. So on top of that,
yes,
accumulators kind of hold on to money so tight that it kind of restricts its energy. And so they don't want to spend any money. And they hold on to it. They're the types of people in the good old days in the 70s, they're the people that kept their money under the mattress because they didn't trust anyone else with it. But they have the opposite challenge in that they stop the flow of money. Money has to flow in and some money has to flow out. Accumulators hate that it has to go out, but that is part of the process. You know, living costs money. Okay, but the goal is to manifest more, hold more, but let some flow out as well. And the accumulators are like, no, no.
It seems so odd that I'm all three of these that are so much different from each other.
Yeah, so this is often where the challenge comes, where you've got, you're like, romantic loves money. And then you've got two, you've got one that's scared, the accumulator that's scared, and one that's like, I don't know, we don't like money. Money's a corrupt social construct and all this type of thing. And so they almost fight with each other inside of you and they create this inconsistency. So learning what each of them does and how they do it, you can get them to work together and for you rather than holding you in this constant bickering that's going on inside you. So my second one is a maverick, which is high risk. They love a bit of fun. They love a bit of gambling. So I've got a ruler who's scared that everything's a fluke and there's never enough. And then I've got a maverick that's like, yeah, chuck 10 grand over there. It'll be fine. You know, and my ruler's like, what? So they have a fight. But it's a fascinating system. It's really, really powerful. And it really does help you to understand your patterns and blocks around money.
And can you explain how money takes on the energy that we give it?
Yeah. So I used to think, and I still do to a degree, that money is energy. And a lot of people will say money's just energy. But I think it's much more than that. It's much more adaptable. I think of money as a little car. And, well, the money is the vehicle, the little car. And what energy you put into that car is the energy that it goes out into the world with. So there's a book, I can't remember who wrote it, it's called Happy Money. And it talks about being happy whenever you come into contact with money, whether it's coming in or going out. When you put happiness into money, it goes out into the world and it impacts everyone. It carries that happiness out to whoever touches it, whoever comes into contact with it. So in my world, we put feminine energy in the little car and it goes out in a playful, creative, supportive, and loving energy, which infects everyone else around us in a beautiful way. So that's how I think of money. It's a vehicle. You can give it masculine energy. You can give it feminine energy. You can give it happy energy. You can give it sad energy. You can give it abundant energy or scarcity energy. But whatever you put into that little vehicle that is the car, you're going to go out, and it's going to go out into the world with that energy. So I'm a big fan of spreading happiness and joy. I love it. And so for me, every time money, every time I come into contact with money, every time I send it out with a beautiful, feminine, supportive and loving energy, because I believe that's what people are missing. They're missing that loving energy at the moment. And so that's how I send it out. And that's how I think of money as an energy. It's a vehicle for energy, rather, because you can give it any energy. It's super adaptable. Here's an example. My mobile phone was once money, and it alchemized into a mobile phone, literally transformed it from money into a mobile phone. This crystal, this lovely ruby, was once money, and I alchemized it into money. Super adaptable. I could sell it to Patty if she wanted it, and it would alchemize into it. Her money would alchemize into a ruby for her, and it would alchemize into money for me. So this adaption, this transformation of money is happening all around us, and we forget to see it. Everything that's man-made, everything that we buy, everything that we've got in our homes, that was once money. You know, even the paint on your walls, and it's money's disguised itself as something else. And I love that. So adaptable.
That's a great explanation of how to look at money in a really positive way. Now I'm going to kind of flip the switch here a little bit and ask you, what is money shaming?
Oh, yeah. So money shaming happens whether you're rich or poor, okay? When I was younger and I ran away to join the Royal Navy, because, you know, that's what you do to get out of a town. And I came from a poor background. It's, you know, like I said, it wasn't, we were by far not the poorest people in the town, but there were people there who came from really affluent backgrounds, and they judged me. You know, they took the mickey out of me. They shamed me for being poor, for not having designer clothes, for not having a nice haircut, you know, for, you know, all that sort of thing. And I've also noticed that people, women in particular, get shamed when they have money as well. And that I find that really hard to see. I've seen on Facebook and Instagram people posting horrible comments about women who are successful. And it kind of really, I find it really jarring. And what I've learned is money shaming is going to happen whether you have it or not. I remember someone I used to work with said, you know, I used to get judged because I had a crappy beat up old car with like beaten panels and rusty bumpers and all that type of thing. I used to get judged. People would like turn their nose up at me and tut ha and all that when they saw me. But now I've got a Lamborghini and people still squish their nose up and go, ugh, look at that person there. And so money shaming is shaming people who don't have money and people who do have money, people that are positive about money, people that are negative about money. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But what it reveals is money blocks. If I had this thing, I didn't shame this person to their face. I did it in my head. My next door neighbor, he doesn't live there anymore, but he used to get a new car every few months. And every time, and this was whilst I was working on my money story, every time he rocked up with a new car, and they were like really nice cars as well, expensive top-end luxury cars, I would just get really triggered, really activated. And I have such hatred for him. And I wanted to go out there and say, who do you think you are, getting a new car every couple of months? This went on for about a year. And then all of a sudden I caught myself. And I was like, I might not be doing it to his face, but I'm still trying to inflict shame on him for having money and wanting to use his money for cars. I'm not into cars. I'm really not into cars. So I don't have a flashy car. But I was doing it myself. And I was creating judgment and all this story about, you know, what kind of person he was and all this because he got a new car. So money shaming is something that we do anyway. We do it. You know, we get told that rich people are mean And so that's shaming them in a way. On that note, I've met a lot of rich people. I've also met a lot of poor people. I can tell you there are a lot more meaner poor people than there are rich people. That's been really interesting for me. But yeah, this whole money shaming, like, it shouldn't be a thing, whether you have loads of money or you don't have loads of money. You know, I don't know what it's like where you are, but in this country, we have this saying, oh, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But that just isn't the case. That is not the case. It's about, you know, it's about so many other things than that. And so we judge people because they have money. We judge people when they don't have money. And that creates a feeling of shame. And I've seen it on social media. It's awful. It's awful to see.
And it's interesting because the next question is about how our society is changing, and we're going through a lot of changes with the global economy as well, which I find fascinating because it's like a story of discontent globally about money that's very much circulated in the media. So how can people listen to their personal relationship with money versus getting influenced by the society story, especially things like increased cost of living and the class inequality, the poor getting poor and the richer getting rich, which is an old story, but it's been recycled now.
Yeah. So the number one thing that has helped me is I don't access any news. I don't listen to the radio because that has news on. I don't watch the TV because that has news on. I only watch Netflix, doesn't have news on. I don't look at the BBC website. I just don't. If I see news on social media, that's normally the most important stuff that you need to know. Just keep scrolling. You get caught up on social media. So I decided, you know, here in the UK, we've been told for the last decade that we're heading into recession. Well, of course we are, because it's been a decade. Money is a cycle. There's always ups and downs. But if we keep telling people we're going into recession and that times are hard, then they experience that. Now, I'm not denying the fact that the cost of living has gone up, but my life is a lot happier that I'm not having it dripped into my ear like poison, telling me every hour on the hour the cost of living increase, toilet roll's gone up, and Tesco's are making profits, and there we go, the fat cats at the top of the supermarket chains and what have you. My money mindset is easier to manage. My relationship with money is healthier if I don't let anyone else tell me something different. It's not about sticking your head in the sand, but I'm a strong believer in you create what you focus on. So if you focus on it being hard because the cost of living's gone up, then it's going to be hard. If you focus on how can I create more abundance so that this doesn't impact me, so it's more of a bump in the road rather than a mountain, then if you focus on that, then that's what you're going to create. So for me, the number one manifesting tip, and honestly, mental well-being tip, and I'm not a qualified mental health practitioner, but I would say for my own mental well-being, get the news out of your head. You will not miss anything important. I've been on a media diet, as I call it, for, it must be getting on for 15 years now. And my mental health is way more steady, and my relationship with money and my relationship with myself is way more steady without that poison dripping in my ear. So get the news out of your life. And it sounds really scary because I don't know about you, but like my parents used to come in from work, they'd put the news on at 6 and then they'd turn over and watch the news at 7. Or maybe it's 5 and 6, but it was closer. And then at 9 o'clock, the news came on again. So it was 3 hours in an evening where they were watching news. They had radios on at work every hour on the hour, the news, the news, the news. And everyone talks about the news, the doom and gloom. Because we do like a bit of drama, don't we?
Yes, a little bit addicted, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of is like going cold turkey. People for years people said I was, you must be crazy, like how do you navigate life? Well, I didn't miss a thing. I didn't miss the COVID thing. I think the worst thing that I missed was that we needed to wear masks in restaurants from the door to the table. That was it. That was the biggest thing that I missed, and because we were all wearing masks anyway, I had one, and it was just You know, I really haven't missed anything in 15 years by not watching the news. It's incredible and so freeing. So that would be number one tip for your money mindset, your money relationship. Keep out of the news.
I totally agree with you. My husband and I don't watch the news at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found that it made me a lot happier not to watch it.
You sleep better at night when you don't listen to the news, don't you?
Yeah.
You really do. Yeah. Definitely. And yet, like so, it's got almost like an addiction. So actually going cold turkey is quite hard, isn't it? But once you realise, I expect you've been the same, Patty, once you realise you're not missing anything, it's actually quite freeing, isn't it?
Yes. It's been a long time. It's been years since
we
stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. It makes such a difference.
And it makes families, you're forced to have a conversation, which yes. I find hilarious because we sit down sometimes and then there's silence and then we go, so what happened today? Because you haven't got the box dominating the conversation.
Yes. And
oh my God, I have to work on my conversation skills.
I know, that's the other benefit is you get better at conversation because you can't talk about the news because you don't know what's going on. And, you know, people, they say, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? I'm like, no, don't even know who that is. So, yeah, you definitely get better at communicating with people.
I do this other thing where I ask them to tell me, oh, no, I haven't heard about that. What's going on? And then I hear all of their stuff because I actually do this exercise with the news that I was taught by my mentor, which is to watch how it triggers you.
Oh yes.
And it could be, you know, abundance stories or lack stories, but I do it as an exercise. I studied the media, so I saw how it was fear-based very early on.
Yes.
Then I didn't make that joining of the dots of how it reflects my fear or my ancestors or family stories and my belief systems. So I do it like that and I watch my little gremlins go off and then I change the channel because it's just
there's better things to listen to, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so bad. The media, I mean, we know it's used in wartime. It's called propaganda in wartime, isn't it? But it's so powerful. It creates whole countries to move against each other. And so, you know, I'm not saying that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that at all, but it is very fear-based. And it keeps us in this bubble of society. And to be fair, society needs us to be in that bubble to a degree, because without that, you know, we'd all have businesses and we wouldn't be contributing as much tax. And although, you know, when you have a successful business, you pay a lot more, but it's done the other way around in the UK. You pay tax at source when you're employed, but after expenses when you have a business. So it feels different. But without the, you know, without the news, without the fear, without the, you know, economic collapse coming every 6 months in the news, then way more people would step outside of the system, I think, and that would create quite a collapse. And it helps the system provide security, which is essential. It's not a bad thing, it's essential for us. But when we step outside of it a little bit, it's very interesting to observe, isn't it?
And I wanted to share on the family in money relationships becomes a trigger for a lot of us. What can you share, any tips about better communication in relationships, family or friends, about money or the people you live with, because you have to pay the bills together?
Yeah. So working on your relationship with money empowers you to have courageous conversations about money. And you will observe people that you have those courageous conversations with perhaps being triggered by those. Because they're not the type of conversations that they've had. We don't talk about money. It's a taboo. Like, it's rude to talk about money, apparently. And in our contracts, and often in employment contracts, it says you're not allowed to talk about your salary. You know, just not allowed to do it. So, we don't have these conversations about money. So, initially, having courageous conversations with your family about money can be quite challenging. And so it is again about you, in a way, have to stay in your lane and do what's right for you. And people will slowly come to you. Although you will have people who disrespect your new way of being with money. And then that becomes a boundary issue. And then you have to decide, you know, are they doing it on purpose or are they just uncomfortable with it? Do they need more support with understanding it? And I'm not going to lie, some relationships fall apart when one person works on a better relationship with money, because being able to talk about money is just too much for some people. Rewind into my 20s, I could not talk about money. I just physically couldn't talk about money. It got stuck in my throat. And so it's about balancing where they're at with where you're at and keep going with that. I taught my son, my son's 23 now, and I taught my son the scarcity model of money because that's all I knew. And when I started to discover money alchemy, money mindset, money relationships, I was just like, oh my goodness, what have I done? And having a conversation about money with him resulted in several arguments, lots of resistance, lots of things that when I heard them, I was like, oh my goodness, I taught you so well. I'm so sorry. You know, like I taught him the scarcity side of things so well. But because we love each other and respect each other, over time, he's come to have more conversations with me. He's learned that it's safe for him to talk about money and that, you know, I can be trusted to have those conversations with him too. And now he's got more money saved up than me. He's going to be a millionaire by the time he's in his mid-30s, simply because he's changed his money mindset quite quickly, even though it was painful for him. So it's not easy with other people. It's not easy with relationships, but keep having the courageous conversations. Keep yourself grounded in that relationship with money. And just know that people are going to be triggered. And that's okay to a degree, as long as they don't behave badly about it. You know, there's being triggered and there's behaving badly, isn't there? Money does shine a light on cracks as well. So just be aware of that. And that can be really hard. And then it's hard not to blame money for the breakdown of a relationship. But it was always there. The crack was always there, just shone a light. So really challenging. No easy answer to that, Angela. But the route I take is I stay in my lane. And then when I need to have a conversation, I make sure I'm calm, I'm grounded, and, you know, speak about money positively. It's up to them how they receive that.
I love that. Okay, here's our question that we ask about relationships. How does having a good relationship with money build better relationships in our lives, whether it's work or at home?
Oh, this is, I've got a lovely answer for this. I think you're going to love it. So one of the things that I discovered when I started working with Money Alchemy and started working with my clients is you build a better relationship with money. But a side effect that happens in 100% of cases is that you build a better relationship with yourself, okay? You become kinder to yourself. You become more supportive of yourself. You reparent your inner child. You start to create strength and boundaries in your life, things that you will stand for, things that you won't stand for, because you are more confident and more connected to yourself when you work with money. Money is a mirror. So your relationship with money reflects your relationship of yourself. Okay, and that can be quite hard when you first hear it. When you have a good relationship with yourself, you are in a position to create healthy relationships at work, healthy relationships at home, and you don't tend to stand for the stuff that you used to stand for when you didn't think that much of yourself. You're more assertive because you're more grounded, you're more confident in yourself. You love yourself. And I never thought I'd say that. I was, you know, even a year ago, I was like, I quite like myself now. My relationship with money has taught me how to have a relationship with myself that's healthy. And I love who I am. Not all the time. There's still bits, you know, that I'd like to smooth out. But in the main, I love myself. And my relationship with Mark has always been the healthiest relationship that I've ever had. But it's so much more healthier since I've done this work. My relationship with my son, Cameron, again, you know, we were very close when he was growing up. It got difficult in his late teens to early 20s. And it's coming back together because I'm better at saying what I want and what I need and encouraging him to say what he wants and he needs. So, and at work, if I could work in a job now, I honestly think I'm unemployable now. But I know that I would have better boundaries about my working hours. I wouldn't let people bully me in the workplace or, you know, get, you know, all uptight with me and rude to me. I would make it very clear what I would and wouldn't do because I know what I'm a stand for now and I know what I'm not a stand for. And so that is how your relationship with money can literally impact all of your relationships. The way you do money is the way you do everything. Look at your relationship with food, very similar to your relationship with yourself, your relationship with money. Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing and a wonderful side effect that, like I said, I'm actually very proud that 100% of my clients suffer, in inverted commas, from that side effect. The connection, the relationship with yourself that makes all other relationships much healthier. And the ones that aren't healthy, they will either become more healthy or they will go away. And although that's very hard, that's exactly the right thing for you. And that's what's the most important thing, how you feel about yourself.
Yes, money, you know, a lot of marriages break apart over money. So having a healthy relationship with money can change that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I always remember my parents arguing about money. That's my first memory of money, is arguing. And that creates a feeling of not safe to have money, but also we repeat our parents' patterns. We never want to, but we do. So we grow up thinking it's natural to argue about money. The money causes arguments. That's our belief. And so it causes arguments in our relationships as well. And so when we can heal that and make that relationship healthy, that helps heal the marriage as well.
Louise, can you tell us and the listeners how to find you or contact you about your products and services and also about your free book?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me if you want to find out about your sacred money archetype, then come to my website, www.fearlesslyfeminine.me. I'm on Facebook. Just look for Eloise Burton. You'll spot me. There's not many Eloise Burtons in the world. And my book is available for free on my other website, which is called themagicofmoneyalchemy.com. All I ask is that you pay the shipping and handling, but the book is free. And it's a book that has been inside of me for a long time. And as it happened, I wrote it really fast. It's getting amazing reviews on Amazon. It's number one in one of its categories. So I can officially say I'm a best-selling author. But it's going down really well. People absolutely love it. And it actually creates a big shift. Plus, Patty, you'll probably confirm this. It's quite an easy book to read, isn't it? The chapters are short. And it's every chapter has like something that you can take away from it. I wanted it to be a book that you could dip into, learn something, and then come back when you wanted to, if you didn't want to read it cover to cover. So yes, that's available on my themagicofmoneyalchemy.com website.
Yeah, it's very easy to read, and I really loved how you put it together. And then the way it feels.
Yes.
Oh gosh, it's so inviting. Just the texture of it and the way that you laid it out. You can actually, like you said, with your different chapters, how they're short, and then you can really, really reflect on them.
Mm.
I found myself going back and rereading.
Oh, I love that.
Chapters over and over again and reflecting on it.
Mm. Yeah. And I think reading the book helps you identify some blocks that you've got as well, doesn't it? Because you're like, oh, that's really challenging. That hasn't gone in. I have to read it again. Or actually, I get that, but I don't like it. And yeah. I often say this to my clients, like sometimes you're just going to feel like slamming the book shut or shutting your laptop on me and going, you're talking rubbish, Eloise. But that's a sign of a block, you know?
Yeah, there were times where I wanted to skip it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, you got to read it and you got to face it.
Yeah. And I say that in the introduction, I think, like, you know, just go through it and notice what comes up for you, because it's what comes up. This is your money story hiding in your body. Those feelings that you get, those aversions that you get, they're signs that you need to heal something that's in your money mindset. Now, you might read it and not agree with me. That's different to being triggered by it. And that's absolutely fine too. But it is fascinating. And the feel of it, I created a deck of cards, and everything I create has that lovely soft feel because I'm very tactile.
Yeah.
It feels so luxurious, doesn't it? The book's got the same finish on it. And like everything I make, I want it to look beautiful and feel beautiful so that you want to pick it up. Yeah, that's the same, isn't it?
Yeah, the money journal.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want it to, you know, I want you to look at it and go, oh, money. Even if you don't pick it up and you don't read it, you don't write in it, you connect with money just by looking at it or touching it. So that's where that feel, that soft feel comes from. It's just want to stroke it.
Well, it's been also a pleasure to spend time with you, Eloise. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
I think the biggest piece of information I can give you is like, this is your choice. You can choose to live an abundant life with a healthy relationship with money. It's not an easy choice. It should be. It sounds like an easy choice, but it's not an easy choice. It's a choice I make every day. I didn't just think I'm going to be good at money and that's it now. I make that choice every day to reconnect in my relationship with money. It's just like a relationship with a human being. You have to put a little bit in each day to get something out of it. When you start taking it for granted, that's when your relationships start to slide. It's the same with money. So wake up every day and choose abundance if you're ready for it. Not everyone's ready for it yet, and that's okay, but it's an everyday choice.
Well, thank you so much, Eloise, for being on our podcast.
Yeah, I loved it.
And thank you, our listeners, for listening. And please share this podcast with others. Follow us on Spotify and check out Eloise's products and services. You will not be disappointed. And we will have Eloise's contact information in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Building Better Relationships with Angela and Patty. Send us a message and please like or share the podcast or donate with the Anchor Donate button. We really value your feedback.